Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. This hour, we're going to learn about ways to enjoy Maine's great outdoors safely during this COVID-19 crisis, especially now that spring is here. Joining me, Carol Ann Ouellette. She is director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. And Nancy Safera. She is director of land management for the Nature Conservancy in Maine. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for ideas on how to find trails or outdoor spaces that might not be too crowded? Wondering if there are any nature activities to do in your own backyard? Or if you want to share your ideas for things that you've been doing at a safe distance from other people, maybe with children, email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Carol Ann and Nancy, thanks so much for joining us. Carol Ann, I'll start with you. I understand your office is a relatively new one. And when you started in this role, heading up the Office of Outdoor Recreation, I'm sure you had no idea you would be facing a scenario like the one we'd be dealing with right now.
No. Good afternoon, Jennifer. And hello, Nancy, as well. No, I had not anticipated this. I knew I had a lot to learn in connecting through this new office and this new opportunity, but this was certainly not part of it. But I think, you know, certainly there's still opportunities to get outside. We're so fortunate in that our deep-rooted heritage of connecting people to place in the outdoors is a part of why we live, work, and play here. And, you know, outdoor recreation supports public health and our quality of life. So there's many benefits to spending time in the outdoors, particularly in a situation that is stressful and really unprecedented like we're in today.
So talk to us. How do we get outside and still follow the current state mandates?
Well, so, the current stay healthy at home mandate identifies engaging in outdoor exercise activities and recreational activities such as walking, hiking, running, or biking. And those are just some examples as personal activities. But really, we want to make sure that they are conducted in accordance with all public health restrictions and guidance. And that's really the most important part of it, is making sure that we follow the CDC guidelines when we're in the outdoors as much as anywhere else. And there's some other things that are really important as we're going into the outdoors, is finding the right time and place, being prepared before heading out. And again, as we do with everything, heeding all the COVID-19 health warnings.
So if you're going on a hike, please stay 6 or 10 feet from other people. If you see someone approaching you on the trail, step aside.
Exactly. Definitely we've been using the terminology social distancing, and even more so now to the governor and Dr. Shah's terminology of physical distancing. So really remembering that 6-foot distance and showing respect and moving aside. I had heard someone talk to someone earlier where there were actually recommendations potentially to have a whistle or some type of way to let people know when you're in less crowded areas that you might be approaching or around a bend. So that's an interesting idea. But really, when you're looking at finding the right time and place, knowing what's close to home, checking before you go, so visiting websites of the locations that you're interested in, that are around your local area, have a plan B so that if parking lots are full, the destination may be too crowded. So move on to another one that's nearby. And this gives you an opportunity to find spots you may not have been to before in your local communities. Avoiding peak times. And certainly, and I think Nancy's going to get into this as well, recharge in your backyard. What are some fun things you can do just in your backyard? And then certainly being prepared before heading out. So expecting limited services, packing snacks and water, having the right clothing and gear. There's lots of local outdoor brands that are still open for online sales that can give advice and information on appropriate gear. And I think this has been super, super important is not taking risks. So stick to terrain that is within your scope and scale, that's easier to avoid injuries, because certainly we don't want to add any more stress on first responders and medical resources.
Right. We don't want first responders to have to save you. And Nancy, I want to turn to you now. Carol Ann used the word recharge in your backyard. It's raining today. If somebody wanted to go outside, what might they find wearing a slicker? Is it salamander season yet?
It is salamander season, and this could be big night. This is the time of year when the frogs and salamanders are moving to their breeding pools, vernal pools, the wood frogs. I heard the first wood frogs last week. And so this is a great time of year for the species to be coming, sort of waking up from the long winter. Our first migrating birds are coming through, and even in, even in the middle of town, taking a walk through town, you can hear some of the first birds coming through. The phoebes should be arriving any moment now. There have also been first sightings of early butterflies. So there's a butterfly called the morning cloak that is the earliest butterfly that we find here in Maine, and they've been reported to be flying. So there's plenty of things that people can do. And even if they don't have a backyard, just walking around town, walking past other people's front yards and backyards can get you out and able to experience some of that.
Great. Nancy, we don't seem to have the best connection with you. I'm going to see if we can reconnect and so you can sound better for the rest of the hour. In the meantime, I'm going to turn back to Carol Ann. And Carol Ann, we've got a bunch of questions just about what people are allowed to do. Sandy wants to know, would it be considered acceptable for my daughter to go for a bike ride with a neighbor or two if they stay 6 to 10 feet apart within the neighborhood? Not sure with the new restrictions. Carol Ann, can you hear me?
Jennifer, I'm sorry. Yes, these are going to be interesting questions. And I think certainly the importance of spending time in your neighborhood and practicing the social distancing is really, those are the two critical pieces, and not traveling too far necessarily. So taking a bike ride, practicing that social distancing is certainly something that should be an activity that your daughter could do. You know, we really look to the physical and mental health benefits of being in the outdoors. So just being active, we know, can combat anxiety, depression, and obesity. And it's certainly, again, as we mentioned, as we grapple with this pandemic, essential to maintaining physical and mental health. So I would say, as far as I understand it, yes, the biking in the neighborhood and keeping your physical distance. And we also recommend, you know, sort of short times in the outdoors so that you're just getting that release and that energy activity and then coming back in and being at home.
I was looking at some guidance that came out today from a joint press release from the conservation community. And something I hadn't thought of is not only the advice to not linger, you know, shorten your stay if you're visiting something like a waterfall or a viewpoint, but also don't touch. It seems like a silly thing, but just don't touch that sign. If you're going to pose for a picture at the sign, maybe just make sure you're keeping your hands to yourself.
Yeah, and those are very good pieces of advice that certainly make sense. And I think the other piece on that is, if you feel sick, even though we say outdoor activity is really healthy for you, if you feel sick, stay at home. And I think that's part of the recommendations around the COVID-19 precautions and the guidelines.
Joining us now, Amanda Beal. She is Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Thanks for joining us, Commissioner.
Thank you for having me.
As soon as things started shutting down across the state, people thought, well, at least I can go to the park or beach. But now it seems everyone had that same thought, and there's been some action, and some very popular spots have been closed to the public. What was going on at those spots that was so dangerous? And tell us what's been closed.
Yeah, so you're right. Last week, we did make a very difficult decision to close 10 of our mid-coast and southern Maine coastal state parks. And we were seeing increasingly high visitor numbers, particularly after the schools were closed and some businesses became closing. and more people were at home. There's a complete list on our Bureau of Parks and Lands website of those parks, the 10 parks that are closed temporarily. But they include, of course, some of the most popular places that people like to go, like Popham and Two Lights and Kettle Cove. And I should say we also, after that, we did close a footbridge to a small area of Sebago Lake State Park. It gets really heavy use from fishermen, and there really isn't adequate physical distancing space there for the level of use that we see. But everything else in Sebago Lake State Park is open. And so what we were seeing were just, you know, again, summer level numbers in off season is a little bit difficult for us to deal with when we have off season levels of staffing and people really crowding and congregating in places where we couldn't really, there are places like the very narrow paths that go from a parking lot to a beach where it's very difficult for people to pass each other and be 6 feet apart. And again, just the level of use that we were seeing required that we needed to close some of these parks temporarily. I should also mention that we have closed playgrounds within the parks, and in some cases we've also closed restroom facilities. So people really need to plan accordingly to not have access to all services, even in parks that are technically open for the season.
When are you going to reassess, and how will you decide when to reopen any of these destinations?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the decision to close certain parks really was informed, again, by tracking the numbers, but we were also hearing from community members and local law enforcement offices about their concerns and things that they were observing. As for right now, when we may reopen those parks that are temporarily closed is difficult to predict. I mean, there's a lot we still have to understand about the trajectory of the spread and overall incidence of the virus in Maine. But our goal is to open them back up as soon as we can, but we just don't have a concrete answer right now.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. Commissioner Amanda Beal with the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. You know, Amanda, before I let you go, I want to ask you one of the questions that's coming on Facebook today. This is from Lee. He writes, he or she writes, I'm not sure, Loon Echo Land Trust has closed its trails on Pleasant Mountain. Seems more and more of these public places are closing, which will likely lead to a cascade effect as pressure is put on remaining places to close. People need nature to find solace in these troubling times, particularly with the amount of time we're spending in isolation. Has there been any movement or some form of leadership coordinating public access, or to look forward with, are we going to look forward to further limitations on public access until this crisis has passed?
That's a great question. And I guess I'll say that, you know, the main catalyst for closing trails or closing any parks is that people are seeing crowding happening and seeing conditions where that adequate physical distancing isn't happening. And so really, we need the public's help to make sure that we can keep trails and keep parks open. As Carol Ann was saying earlier, there are a number of strategies that you can enlist to get out and recreate safely. And one of those is to not go to places that are crowded and to look for places that where you can do that distancing. So I would really ask that people have a plan B. If you go to a parking lot and it's full, have another place that you can go or look for another place that's less traveled, and that will help us to keep these resources open and available to folks. And one other thing I'll say is if folks want to look at a list of these ideas of how to recreate safely outdoors, our department and the Department of Inland Fish and Wildlife posted some guidelines last week, and they're on both of our websites.
All right, and we'll add those to our webpage and Facebook page as well. Thank you so much. Amanda Beal, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Nancy, we have a question from Charles on Facebook. Just arriving home in Belfast after 3 months in Florida. With a desire to self-quarantine while maintaining sanity and physical condition, is it responsible to garden in my fenced-in backyard, solo bike ride, and go fishing over the next fortnight?
Well, certainly I think being out in your garden is a safe activity. And I would say, you know, if you're going out and biking or fishing, you definitely want to do that solo. There are lots of guidelines on the executive order and guidelines that other people have posted around how to travel safely and make sure you're not putting other people at risk, because I think that's really what we want to avoid, is putting other people at risk. You know, certainly if you're doing things in isolation, I think, you know, that's a good way to get outside. One of the things that you do want to keep in mind is how far you're traveling. So if you're traveling and you have to stop for gas or you have to stop for food or a bathroom, you know, maybe you want to consider not doing that and stay very close to home rather than taking those kinds of risks that could put other people in at risk of contracting the disease.
All right. We have James on Facebook who says, local cemeteries are a great place to get out for a walk, though popular ones like Portland's Evergreen are getting more crowded. Try smaller ones to go out for a peaceful walk. Interesting suggestion from James. We'd love to hear your suggestions or even photos on Facebook. You can go to today's Maine Calling Facebook post and put that in the comments section. You can also give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org or tweet at Maine Calling. We'll be right back. More of your comments and questions in just a minute.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bar Harbor Savings and Loan, providing both traditional and modern banking services. Your community bank since 1902.
The world's reporters and producers have a singular mission: to put you in touch with events around the globe that affect life here in the U.S. From the coronavirus to global trade to efforts to dial back climate change, each day we bring you fresh insights, unique voices, one-of-a-kind reporting. Join us for an hour that takes you around the globe. It's right here. It's the world.
And that's coming up this afternoon at 3 here on Maine Public Radio. Trusted news, quality entertainment, and lifelong learning is what Maine Public Television is all about, four channels strong. We've made some adjustments to provide more daytime educational fare, from science to history programming, for the older kids who find themselves home during this time of social distancing. We have the PBS Kids channel for preschool kids, but our main channel just added more afternoon programming for older learners, starting now at 1:30 each afternoon. And the Maine Public World channel is now doing the same each weekday afternoon from 12 to 5. Television programming that is worthwhile and educational to watch. See the schedule for our Maine HD and World channels at mainepublic.org. Just click on the television dropdown.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today on the program, getting outdoors, how to do it safely and wisely in this era of COVID-19, and some ideas about where to go. My guests are Nancy Safera, who is Director of Land Management for the Nature Conservancy in Maine, and Carol Ann Ouellette, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to JR, who's calling from MDI. Hi, JR. Go ahead.
Hi, this is JR Crevins. I'm a physician. I'm also a member of Mountains and Islands Search and Rescue, and I wanted to echo something said at the beginning and clarify it. This is not the time to be setting up a search and rescue mission. Right now, a lot of the professional agencies do not have their full staffing because of work restrictions, and a lot of the search and rescue teams, some of the people may be unavailable due to commitments. And the other issue is, if someone does require a carryout, it's going to really require all of us on the team to totally violate any reasonable social distancing rules. You're going to have 12 to 14 people within 6 feet of each other, which is not something we want to do without good cause. So we'd ask people, don't push it. Don't go on steep trails. Don't go on icy trails. Don't do things beyond what you can safely do. I know for myself, I'm staying on roads. Also, that gives me the advantage if someone's coming the other way, I can easily give it 6 feet, which doesn't work on a narrow, rocky trail. So, you know, like a lot of other people, I almost feel like I can't live without getting out there, but I'm not trying to set up anyone else to have to come after me.
So you're advocating a gentle walk on a gentle trail.
Gentle is relative. I mean, you can, if you're on a, I would say, do it, keep it safe. So for example, there's lots of steep roads. If you need to, you know, if you're trying to stay in physical training, you know, going uphill on a dirt road, is certainly going to get you plenty in shape. But don't be bicycling back down one on a mountain bike. You know, there's lots of beautiful places to go, that don't put you at physical risk and won't put other people at risk of a long and difficult carry out to get you out if something goes wrong.
And JR, go ahead. And
if you're already feeling poorly, don't go anywhere where people are going to have to carry you.
Really important points. Thank you so much for calling in, Carol Ann. I mean, JR and Carol Ann, I'm wondering if you would like to follow up on that.
Yeah, I, it's such an important point and one that we've heard often over the last few weeks. And, you know, save the challenging rides and hikes and whatever else it might be for when things are safer. It is really important. And I think also to what Commissioner Beal was discussing around closures, I mean, respecting closures is so important at this point in time. Those decisions to close have not been made lightly. They've been very difficult decisions, but they have been done so with best interests at heart, with public health as the number one priority. So for both of those, I think that's very important.
All righty. We're going to move on to Meg, who's calling from Gorham. Hi, Meg. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. This is really exciting to be able to talk about this. I work for the Ecology School, which is a nonprofit, science and environmental education in Saco, Maine. And it's just great to hear that people are utilizing all the amazing outdoor access we have in Maine. Our work at the Ecology School is with schools. So our new focus has been to support teachers, students, and their parents who recently have had to take on the new role of supporting their children's education from a distance. So we've developed an online resource that we're calling Nature Nuggets. And the goal is to provide easy, low, and no-tech science and outdoor activities to help provide a little structure to outdoor time.
Oh, and that's great.
The idea is that these activities can be done at home, and in some cases for older students, that they require minimal supervision. Our first activity is an observation of change, and so we asked students with their parents if they were around to go outside and tie just a little string around maybe a branch or a bud that might be coming out, and that then they can be visiting that spot every day to see what sorts of changes are happening. So we've been getting some really exciting feedback that this is the kind of support that parents need, and giving kids just a little bit of focus outside to be able to make those observations and really engage.
Nature Nuggets. I love it, Meg. If you wouldn't mind, go on today's Facebook page and Maine Calling Facebook page and post something in our comment section. And also, I'm pretty certain our web team will put a link onto our website as well. Thanks so much for calling in. And Nancy, that's a really good point, is that right now there are a lot of parents scrambling to find creative ways to teach their kids science. And the backyard is a good place to start.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about the fact that so many parents are home with their kids is there's been a huge effort by the teachers, by the community to get information out to students. You know, for instance, Shewanki is doing live Facebook Live sessions that people can watch. And this is a great opportunity for parents to get their kids out, look at just flipping over leaves in the backyard, anything like that, that you can start digging down into and seeing what's really underneath your feet that you may typically never even pay attention to. And so there are tons of resources out there that parents can connect into. And certainly, you know, sharing the stuff that the information that Chwanki has or the Ecology School has is a great way to get your kids engaged.
We'll go to Lawrence calling from Bath. Hi, Lawrence. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great. Hi. Yeah. So I'm the president of the local mountain bike chapter called Six Rivers here in Bath. And
I really appreciated hearing what JR had to say in up at MDI. This is not a vacation this time. It's an emergency, and we need to treat it like that. At the same time, Governor Mills and a lot of people listening appreciate how important it is for us to be able to get outside. So from the perspective of mountain biking, what JR said is really true. And there's a lot of conversation in our community about whether it's appropriate to take risks right now. And the answer is no. This is not the time to do something that's going to require somebody to rescue you. So Maine is a pretty wet place in the spring. We're encouraging mountain bikers, if they are encountering muddy trails, instead of riding, they should consider walking the trails, kicking the winter's twigs and leaves off, and sort of neatening up the trails for a time when we can ride. I work pretty closely with the Kennebec-Estuary Land Trust, and they really do want to maintain this resource for people. They recognize how important it is spiritually, mentally, to be able to go outside and feel the breeze on your face, and today feel the raindrops on your face. So we talk a lot about, you know, what's appropriate. Obviously, following all the guidelines from the CDC, staying apart from each other, at least 6 feet, not going out if you feel sick. I heard you talk about not touching signs, really important. I just wanted to chime in and say that now would be a great time to walk the trails, or if you are going to ride, do it really carefully, do it by yourself. And a ton of gratitude that KELT is keeping the trails open.
Well, Lawrence, thank you so much for your call. Really great points. Calling in now is Gary Fish. He's Maine's state horticulturalist. Thanks for calling in, Gary.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's an interesting time right now.
Yeah, one bright side is that spring is here, so people can go outside. I know lots of people planting peas already, and I'm among the legions, I'm sure, who have ordered seeds in the past couple weeks. What are gardeners, especially vegetable gardeners around Maine, what can we be doing right now, especially beginners who are thinking, okay, I'm trapped, this is going to be the year?
Well, it would be a great year to start doing seedlings inside. I think that would be one thing you could also do with your children. You can definitely still find all places that are selling seeds and seedlings, and plants are all still open. They're all considered essential businesses, and they're all trying to come up with ways of making it available and delivering materials, or having people call ahead and ordering online. So those types of materials are available.
What do you think of planting with food supply in mind? Anything that you recommend growing as we, you know, sort of think about how we live differently, especially if someone has not grown vegetables before?
So if you haven't grown vegetables before, I think it's probably easiest to start out with some of the greens, maybe with lettuce or with beet greens or kale or Swiss chard. Those are all fairly easy to grow. Also, potatoes seem to be fairly easy to grow. Even though they're a tough crop to grow, they're fairly easy for a gardener to grow. And I think that the hardest part will be just finding the right spot to grow your crops with full sunlight, and making sure that you have access to water, and most importantly, to know whether or not you have good soil. And if you're in an urban area, to make sure that you have your soil tested, possibly. If be a little bit harder to do that right now, but you have to consider whether or not there might be contaminants in the soil, like lead from paint or pesticides that were used in old orchards and other agricultural sites.
Well, Gary, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to have Gary back on Maine Calling a little bit later for a full show on gardening. Gary Fish, the state horticulturalist for the state of Maine. We'll go to Chris, who's calling from Temple. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to piggyback on Meg's great comment from the ecology school. We are working on a video project with the same thought in mind, that there's a lot of people home right now with their kids looking to get out and do something meaningful. And so my wife and I run Kovijashevik Local Living School, and we're working on a project that, just like Meg was saying, involves some phenology, like the study of the cycle of spring and as things come out. Just yesterday we were out, my kids and I, gathering anything that looked like a seed, and some of them are sprouting and are going to create a little forest garden on the windowsill and see what trees come from what seeds shapes. And we're also really interested in sharing skills that are maybe provide a little bit of sustenance. So we're working on a video right now about spring harvesting acorn and turning it into flour. We've already done one on tapping maple without any equipment, so you can just drink a little bit of sap. And, of course, that's coming to an end now, but birch season is just beginning for tapping. And we've done one on pine tea. So different resources. We're hoping to come up with about one video a week to help parents and kids get out and participate in their backyard.
Great. Well, Chris, I invite you to post some information about that on the Maine Calling Facebook page in the comments section of today's post. I'm going to go to Nate on Facebook. I was planning on harvesting surf clams during some extra low tides coming up this month, where allowed, on Pine Point, Old Orchard Beach. Will that still be allowed? Would this count as fishing, outdoor recreation, exempt from the stay-at-home order? Carol Ann, do you know the answer to that?
Jennifer, actually, I'm not sure that I can answer that. I wouldn't want to take a guess without checking with some other resources, I think, at this point.
All right. Well, maybe after the show, we can post an answer on Facebook. Yeah. Thank you so much. We have an email from Katie. Please address the need to use a bathroom when out for walks, hikes, and bikes ride. It was just briefly mentioned, but it seems it should be a major consideration when getting far from home. Nancy.
Yeah, that's a great question, because most of the facilities are closed at most sites now. And, you know, it's really important for people, if you are using the out-of-doors for a bathroom, that you carry out, you know, whatever you leave behind. And so I think it's really important for people to remember to leave no trace. The other thing I would mention is that for many of these properties that people are utilizing, land trust properties, across the state, there are rules that the land trusts all have, that, and those rules should be followed even at this point in time. We know the sites are really crowded, so thinking about, you know, trampling the vegetation and those kinds of things. So really, another really important reason why you might want to think about staying more local, where you may not have to stop for a facility on the way home.
All right. Well, joining us on the line now, Christine Keeney. She is New England coordinator for the East Coast Greenway Alliance and member of the Maine Trails Coalition. Thanks for calling in, Christine.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us about the Maine Trails Coalition. Do you have a resource that helps find trails around Maine?
Sure. So the Maine Trails Coalition is a statewide initiative. Members of all different types, from public health organizations to land trusts to trail organizations to state-level employees at Maine DOT, at Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, things like that, that have come together basically in a response to a statewide meeting that was held in October 2018. And basically the idea there was that there's trail organizations all around the state that were working on their individual projects. And in some cases, they were having a lot of the same issues around funding, around policy issues, around the need to get the word out about how important trails are, the need for funding. So we all came together and have been working to address some of those issues together rather than as individual organizations.
You have some statistics, I understand, on how many Mainers use the trails. What have you found?
Sure. And just one other thing I wanted to say about the Maine Trails Coalition is that the mission of the organization is to champion the establishment, use, and stewardship of trails in Maine. So it's pretty wide mission, but we want to make sure we encapsulate all of the different trails and all the different uses in Maine. And in terms of the statistics, yeah, we actually did a statewide poll. And one of the questions was, in the past year, how many times, if at all, have you walked, jogged, or ridden bicycles on trails in Maine? And we found that 60% of Maine people age 18 or over used trails in the past year, and half of those did more than 10 times. And the most interesting part about that was that the activity, this activity level was true statewide. Different counties, different age groups, different political affiliations, those sort of things. So it's a very, it's a thing that a lot of people do and brings a lot of different types of people together.
All right. Before we let you go, give us some advice about trying to figure out if a trail is likely to be too crowded and what the new trail etiquette is during this pandemic.
Sure. So just to answer one of your questions before about how can people find trails. There is actually a website called Maine Trail Finder, and that's where someone can go to look at trails in their communities. Another one is our website is greenway.org. We also have a website called map.greenway.org. The East Coast Greenway is basically a vision to create a multi-use trail that extends from Calais, Maine to Key West, Florida. So the goal there is to provide a off-road, safe, accessible trail for people to use in all of those communities that it passes through. So I would encourage people to go to map.greenway.org, see where the greenway is off-road in your community and where you can go to take a walk or a bike ride.
Okay. And some thoughts on trail etiquette right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk going on about this, as you can see. But some of the important things to consider are pinch points. For example, maybe you're at a road crossing and you're waiting to cross with the light. Don't get too close to people in waiting in those areas. It's already been mentioned earlier, but there's a lot of popular places that are being closed, like the Portland Headlight, Fort Williams Park, for example, we just found out was closed today. That's a place where a lot of people know about it, a lot of people gather. But if you take advantage of things like Maine Trail Finder and you find some of these more local, maybe smaller trail networks where you might be the only person there, or maybe there's only one or two other people there, definitely recommend, you know, challenge yourself to find a new place to go for a walk or to go for a bike ride, and don't necessarily go for, you know, your typical place that everyone else is thinking about. And then just one other thing that I thought was a really good suggestion by the Kennebec River Rail Trail, which is located in Augusta. It heads south from Augusta. They actually painted on the rail trail itself a stencil that basically tells people to walk on the edge of the trail. It's 10 feet wide. So you do have some room, but even though you're on a wider trail, keep in mind you still need to move to the edge of the trail, even though there's a decent amount of space, just to make sure you're actually giving 6 feet of passing distance.
Well, Kate, Christine Keeney, thanks so much for calling in. Christine is with the East Coast Greenway Alliance and the Maine Trails Coalition. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. This is Maine Calling.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, hosting workshops statewide in the upcoming Black Fly Writers Retreat. Learn more at mainewriters.org. And Waterville Creates, inviting you to support the arts today with a donation at watervillecreates.org.
Many Americans who are sick say they still cannot get tested for COVID-19.
The scariest thing is not getting answers, not knowing what's going to happen when you call the doctor and they're just like, yeah, you're on your own.
While the president claims testing is improving, some patients and healthcare providers tell a far different story. We'll hear more and have the latest updates on the pandemic this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that's later today from 4 to 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. The Maine Center for Disease Control holds a daily weekday update and briefing on the coronavirus. You can watch it in its entirety on Maine Public Television, on our website, mainepublic.org, and on the Maine Public Facebook page. It generally starts at around 11:30 each morning and will also be carried most mornings here on Maine Public Radio. Again, the daily briefing on the coronavirus from the Maine CDC on Maine Public Television, mainepublic.org, the Maine Public Facebook page, and also here on Maine Public Radio. They will also be archived each day for later viewing. Please visit mainepublic.org and click on the television dropdown.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today we're talking about ways to get outside, to get some exercise and air, and how to do it safely. Joining me, Nancy Safaro with the Nature Conservancy in Maine and Carol Ann Willette with the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. With us on the line now is Caitlin Bernard, who is Natural Resources Advisor with the Nature Conservancy in Maine. Thanks so much for calling in, Caitlin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Caitlin, I'm going to start by reading you an email because I heard that you are calling in from Aroostook County. This is from David. He writes, "Glad Southern Maine is seeing spring today. Although it's raining today, I still have 2 feet of snow in my yard. A penguin would feel right at time. A penguin would feel right at home. Other than dodging wandering turkeys, the birds are still pretty scarce up here in Aroostook County." Is that your experience?
So I am not calling from Aroostook County. I grew up in Aroostook County. I grew up in Fort Kent. I currently live in Gray. So I'm seeing rain in spring, but I get pictures from my parents daily with the 2 foot snowbanks, and it's very much still winter up there. That is true.
So in the context of today's program, how to get outside and do it safely despite the pandemic, what is your advice for people in northern Maine?
So I called around to a couple of my favorite places. Having grown up there, I've done a lot of awesome recreating in the region. My friends at the Fort Kent Outdoor Center are still grooming ski trails. There's lots of winter still to have up there. I think one thing that I've been, thinking about that is really important right now is, those of us who don't. Oh, I'm getting an echo. Are you hearing an echo?
No, you can sort of hold your that part of your phone away from your ear and talk.
Okay. So those of us who don't live in Aroostook County should not be planning a trip to Aroostook County right now to recreate. I think we're emphasizing close to home recreation, but those who do live, Bangor North, there's plenty of amazing opportunities out there. I just reiterate what everybody else has said. Check to make sure that places are open. Check on Facebook, check on websites. I would say if you're looking for a weekend adventure, start today. Call these places, email these places while they're, working or open during the day. Don't wait until you arrive to see what's open. And I think, a big thing, I talked to friends and colleagues at AMC who own land in the Greenville area. The roads are pretty tricky right now. If you're thinking about going to a place that you love that's nearby but is off of a dirt road, be really careful. It's muddy, it's icy, it's snowy. If you get stuck right now, it's a very tricky situation for people. So definitely stick close to nature or stick close to home and try to avoid getting yourself into a place where you're not prepared.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Caitlin. Caitlin Bernard with the Nature Conservancy talking about northern Maine right now. We're going to go to southern Maine and Betsy in Portland. Hi, Betsy. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. This is Betsy Cook, and I'm the Maine State Director for the Trust for Public Land. And like many of our callers in these past few weeks, I've been reminded of the importance of Maine's trails and public lands, especially those, as Carol Ann said, that are close to home. And though right now we are doing our part to make sure we keep physical distance, I'm touched by the fact that in the past, these public lands and trails created a place where neighbors could get to know each other and form strong bonds. And it's really wonderful to see that these bonds that were formed on our public lands and trails are now paying dividends in really important ways as neighbors check in with each other over the phone and drop off groceries and support each other from afar. I've also seen that the crisis has highlighted that many in towns and communities in Maine don't yet have access to these vitally important close to home places. For example, 50% of Lewiston residents and 85% of Augusta residents don't have access to a close to home trail, park, and open space. So as we look towards the horizon, the coming years, I'm looking forward towards how we can support our communities by creating more close to home trails and open spaces for all Mainers.
Well, Betsy, thanks for your call. Carol Ann, thoughts?
Yeah, hi, Betsy. Thanks for calling in. And great point that Betsy reference around places close to home. And that's one of the things that my office and in working with the Maine Trails Coalition, it's very high priority in working with communities so that they understand how important the investment is in outdoor recreational infrastructure and even broadening that across the state, because it is so important to have that resource close to home. And we do find that there are a lot of communities where the access isn't there, and that makes it a challenge, certainly in times like today. But in good times, it's nice to have that backyard park or connectivity from your downtown to a trail area or from your home. It makes me think, I spoke earlier to Carol Woldrick at Portland Trails, and she says they've been very busy in the Back Cove area, which is a concern, but that there's 70 miles through that system, and encouraging people to spread out through that area. And in echoing Caitlin's remarks, because I actually live in Jackman, so I'm calling from there, it certainly conditions vary depending upon where you live across the state. So to be very cautious of that and conscious of that. And for us, certainly in my area, you know, a lot of our recreation is on private lands. So respecting, again, any postings on private lands, if you're looking at access through those or on those. So that's really important, because it's a unique piece of Maine where we have more than 10 million acres open for recreation. And it's such a privilege to have that available to us as Mainers.
Betsy, thanks so much for your call. I want to read an email from Neela. She writes, on a day like today, blustery and wet, most folks stay home. Perfect day for a walk or run in the woods. I just spent an hour at Maine Audubon on the trails. Didn't see another soul. Blissful. Nancy?
Well, I have to agree. There are certain times that it's really great to get outside. If you prepare well, you know what they say, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. And so if you get really well prepared, you can get out there and have some really great experiences where you're not going to see anyone. I was at one of our preserves the other day and spent about 3 hours doing some work trying to get the trails in shape for the season, and I didn't see anyone either. And so there's some great opportunities on some of these lesser-known preserves that people should definitely take advantage of.
An email from Ferris, the ticks are reemerging in high numbers already. Found 6 or 7 tiny ones on me after my time outside yesterday. Tick diseases, while not a pandemic, can be life-changing. Don't forget about the tick hazards. I'm sure Nancy and Carol Ann, you say, hear, hear.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We'll go to Jenny calling from Portland. Hi, Jenny. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Jenny Kordick. I'm the executive director with Maine Outdoor Brands, and we're an alliance of the outdoor product, service, and retail companies in Maine. So speaking of gearing up, you know, we're talking about how important outdoor recreation is to our lifestyle in Maine. And as such, it's also really important to our state's economy. So I would just encourage folks to keep supporting our local Maine outdoor brands through this time. And if you need inspiration, we have a full list at maineoutdoorbrands.com.
Great. Thanks, Jenny. Welcome. I invite you to put that on the comment section of today's Facebook page. Thanks so much. We're going to go to Laura calling from Brunswick. Hi, Laura. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to let everyone know about MaineByFoot.com. It was started by my friend Rebecca Goldfein, who's a journalist in West Bath, and she's got hundreds of walks and day hikes GIS mapped on her site all over the state. It's a great resource.
Laura, thanks so much for calling in and mention that. MaineByFoot.com. Oh, we have an email from Sarah. The caller from the ecology school mentioned tying a string to a branch and tracking its progress. I used to do this with my children when they were young, and it reminded me of another thing we used to do. As we walked through the woods around our house, we would look for letters appearing in nature. The V that two twigs made was the easiest, but we found every letter of the alphabet in the shapes and design of roots, bark, leaves, rocks, fallen branches, moss, and lichen. Once we started looking, we found them everywhere. They would try to find all the letters of their names and found pride in finding the toughest letters. That's lovely, Nancy.
So it reminds me of when I was a kid and you'd lay in the grass and look up at the sky and try to find animals in the clouds.
In the clouds.
And you know, faces on trees and things like that. So, you know, there's all kinds of really fun things that you could play games in nature with. So it's great that they're being creative out there.
All right, we're going to move on now to Brent calling from Reedfield. Hi, Brent. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
I work for the High Peaks Alliance in Western Maine, and we look at access issues and trail issues across the mountains. And we're a tourism destination, which we encourage you not to visit us now. But think about we've been doing a trail study, and we found that only 13.5% of our trails are on preserved land. And 91% of Maine is privately owned. So it's really a privilege we're looking at, to echo Betsy Cook's comments. We really need to look at our access to Maine and how privileged we are to have an implied access. Maine IFNW has a great landowner relations program. And one other point I'm trying to make is the season was cut short up here in the High Peaks. And think about your local destinations up there. Maybe look at gift certificates and or reaching out to your trail crews like Snowmobile Club or ATV Club, which might need help later in the season doing trail maintenance, and both good ways to get outside in the future.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling and mentioning that, Brent. I'm trying to find a similar email from Colin. Yes, a Facebook post. He writes, many of Maine's popular trails are managed and maintained by nonprofit land trusts for the benefit of local communities. With larger parks potentially closing, these off-beaten paths will see more traffic. Land trusts provide incredible benefits for Maine, and folks might want to consider donating or increasing their annual donations for organizations providing these valuable outdoor recreational resources. Last word, Carol Ann, before we say goodbye.
Yeah, and I just very quickly echo what Brent said. When the time is safe and right, adding to the volunteer base for those land trusts is really important. One quick thing, farmers markets are a great way to get outside. I forgot when Commissioner Beal was on the line.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you both for joining us. That was Carol Ann Ouellette, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Nancy Safera, Director of Land Management for the Nature Conservancy in Maine. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk about Maine's food supply. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.